Okay, Rav, so let's open up to Daf Gimel Amud Beis, and let me just review what we know until now. Rabbi Chiya says that if the Nitba denies the entire claim, that's called Kofar Bakol, but he has to face the evidence against him of two Edim on 50% of the claim, then he has to take a Shvua denying under oath the balance of the claim, and that comes under Shvuas Moda B'Mikzas. The Gemara establishes that Rabbi Chiya wasn't so sure about it. He needed the help of a Kal V'Chomer. He cannot rely on some simple analogy, because there's compelling logic to differentiate between the Torah and the classic case in the Torah of Moda B'Mikzas and Rabbi Chiya's case of Moda B'Mikzas. And that's called Ishtamuti Kamishtamit. That was the last thing that we discussed yesterday, which means that we can create a whole psychological explanation as to why a person would be Moda B'Mikzas when he knows full well that he owes the full amount. He admits half and denies half, and that makes him feel comfortable. He has no intention of stealing down the line. What he has intention is delaying the payment process, because right now he has no cash on hand to pay. So for example, if the Tovea demanded 1,000 and he, the Nitba, admits to 500 and denies the other 500, then he's not trying to pocket the other 500, steal it. Because if that would be the case, then Shvua would not help at all. Someone who's a Goslin would not be inhibited about taking a false oath. But rather, he intends to pay back the balance of the 500 at some future date. He doesn't want to be pressed now, at this moment, for the other 500. He doesn't have the cash on hand. So that's called Ishtamuti Kamishtamit, which means he's stalling for time. In such a case, the Torah imposes a shvu on him. However, in a case where a person denies the entire claim, then mimanafshach, either he's telling the truth and he doesn't owe anything at all, or he's an outright gazlan. He's what's called a meiz panav bifnei bal chovo. He got to the point of how ozas panim, where in a very chutzpahdik way he looks at the malva and says to him, I don't know you. He denies the entire claim that we never was alone. And in such a case, he's going to take a false oath. The analogy is not accurate, and therefore Rav Chiya could not derive any conclusions from Moda B'Mikzas to the case of Ha'adas Eidim, because in the case of Ha'adas Eidim, he's a clear-cut gazlan on the side that he's lying. And there's no Ishtamuti Kamishtamit, there's no Aras Heter. He will take a false oath. To the same extent that he's stealing money from his friend, he will perjure himself under oath. So how then does Rav Chiya derive his final conclusion that he has to take a Shvua? And the answer to that is a Kal V'Chomer. So the sugya that we want to learn today is the sugya of Kal V'Chomer, to try to figure out what exactly is the Kal V'Chomer. So let's just see if we all have the right place. We're now on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, and we're on the sixth line, down from the top. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The first word in the line is Kamashmalon. And then in the middle it says, Umay Kal V'Chomer. Umay Kal V'Chomer. So the Gemara says the following: Uma piv she'eno mechayvo mamon mechayvo shvua. Now, if we take this Gemara literally, the Gemara is saying that hodas bal din is not reliable. Let's move this over. And when a person confesses that he owes money, that confession is worthless. I'm holding a place there. Oh, okay. Is mechayvo shvua, and yet, although odas piv is not enough to be mechayv him mamon, yet, in a case of modu b'miktsas, he's chayv shvua, edim shemechayvin also mamon, Eino din shemachayven also shvua. Edim are that much more powerful than hodas piv. So if hodas piv has the power to generate a shvua, how much more so hodas edim should have the power to generate a shvua? So the Gemara right away rejects this formulation. This is impossible. Piv eino machayv mama. That's not true. V'ha, we have a principle, and this is formulated in a brisa, that hodas baldin kemeya edim domi. That hodas baldin has the status of two edim, and in fact, it's like 100 edim. That's an exaggeration, but what it means is it doesn't fall short of edus. And the very fact that the Torah says you have to take a shvua on the second half of the claim in a case of modeh b'miktzas means that he's chayav on the first, half, the half of which he was modeh. So that's hodas baldin. So what do you mean when you say ma piv she'eino machayv mamon? That's not true. So the Gemara answers, my mamon knas. The Torah says in the parsha of Kefel, it says Asher Yashiun Elohim Yishalim Shnayim. Correct, Prat L'Mashiach Satzva, which means that with regard to Knas, there is no Chiyuv Knas that could be generated by Odas Piv, and that puts Odas Piv on a lower level, an inferior level to that of Hodas Edom, because if two Edom testify that he stole, then he has to pay not only Karen, but he pays Kefel, he pays the Knas. But if we have no independent evidence to establish that he stole the object, then he only pays Karen by virtue of his own admission, but he's parted from Knas. So the Chiddush of Hodas Baldin is that after a person is moda on something, he can no longer be chozer bo. He can't say mishata yisibach, I was just making a joke about it. And it really means that his hodah is still valid, even if he later denies the hodah and says, I never meant it, and so forth and so on. That's the chiddush of hodas baldin. And that hodas baldin has the same status as mea edim. However, where does Hodas Baldin fall shy of Edus? That's in the case of Kefel of Knas. Now, why is Kefel called a Knas? Because it's Yoser Mimashe Hifsid. Mm-hmm. He was Mafsid of only the Karen. Mm-hmm. And now he has to pay another 100%. That's a penalty called a Knas. So the Gemara says the following. Now we have a clear-cut understanding of the Kal v'chomer of Rabbi Chiyo Ma'apiv. She'ein mechayvo knas, mechayvo shvua. Edim shemechayven also knas, ein odin shemechayven also shvua. If edus is more powerful than piv, and that we see in the case of knas that piv is not mechayv knas, whereas edim would be mechayv knas, then edim should certainly be able to be mechayv a shvua, because it has more power than Hodas Baldin. And if Hodas Baldin is Mechayv HaShvua, then how much more so should Edus be Mechayv HaShvua? Now at this point in the sugi, the Gemara accepts this Kal V'Chomer, except for a Pircha, where Pircha means your Kal V'Chomer is only logical, it's only convincing, if in all cases Edus is superior to Hodas Baldin. But if I can find you in one specific area in Halacha where Hodas Baldin is operative and is reliable, whereas Edus would not be reliable, and especially if his Hodas Baldin comes in conflict with Edim, that's called Akhasha, and yet we believe his Hodas Baldin and we don't believe the Edim, then we know that Hodas Baldin is greater than Edim, and then we're going to assume that Knas is just an exception to the rule, it's a fluke. And that's the Gemara's kasha now. Malu piv shekei mechayvo karmon. Now we're talking about a karmon chatos for a person who violates a chiv kareis bishoge. How do we establish that he's chayev a karmon? The answer is through his own hodah. He admits that he ate chalev inadvertently, and therefore he has to bring a karmon chatos. That's the only way you could be mechayev a person a korban chatos. If two eidim would testify that we saw you eat chelev, and he denies it, then he's not chayev a korban. We'll have to see how we derive this halacha. But be that as it may, the halacha is that with regard to a chiyuv korban, we rely on odas piv to generate a chiyuv korban. We do not rely on hagadas edus. So if two edim say to him, you ate chelev, bishogeg, and he denies the claim, he says, I didn't eat it, lo achalti, is in such a case, he's potter from a korban chatos. Now, I have to point out that this Gemara is predicated on the Chachamim against Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that there are two ways of being mechayev a person a korban. One is through his hodah, when he admits that he ate the chelev, and the other is when two eidim testify that we saw that you ate chelev b'shogeg. And in such a case, he's chayev to bring a korban chatos. And the logic of Rabbi Meir, which is increases daf yud aleph, is the following. If shnei eidim yichom lav yulidei misa, if two eidim could condemn a person through their testimony to death, and that's an onish chomer, that's the most severe punishment that you can imagine, kal v'chomer sheyicholim shnei eidim lav yodim lidei chiv karban, which is relatively kal. The chachomim reject this kal v'chomer, and they say that in such a case where the Eidim testified that he ate chelev, he's potter from a korban, based on the fact that he could say, yes, the Eidim are correct, I did eat chelev, but I ate it b'mezid. There's no way that the Eidim could contradict that. Mm-hmm. So he, according to Chacham, his status is one, he one-ups it over the Eidim, because the Eidim could never absolutely establish that he ate b'shogeg. If he says, I ate the mezid, then he doesn't bring a karma, because there's no karma chatos for a mezid. So you see that his hakasha power against the Edom is a great power. And therefore the Edom could not overrule him and say, well, we know that you're chayim a karma, if he says, no, I deny it, and I'm not chayim a karma. That's the Shitas Chachamim, and our sugya here reflects the Shitas Chachamim. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, holds that to the same extent that a person's chayav a korban based on odas piv, he's chayav a korban based on hagadas edus. Because if edim can bring him lidei misa, how much more so can they bring him lidei korban? Our sugya is completely oblivious of Rabbi Meir. Now, how do we know that if a person confesses that he ate chelev, that he has to bring a korban? This is based on Vayikra Perkei, and the Torah says, Visvada asher chata olav. And then it says, Vehavias hashamo. Rashi here, on our sugya, quotes this pasuk in Vayikra Perek Hey. The Ritva is bothered by this Rashi. Why does Rashi quote the pasuk of Vehevi es Ashamo, which is referring to a Karman Asham? Why doesn't he bring the pasuk in Karman Chatos? In Chatos, the parsha says, O Hoda Elov Chatoso, which means that he himself knows that he's chayav a korban chatos. Veloshio diu achirim. Not that others tell him he's chayav a chatos. Why does Rashi have to stretch his arm out to korban asham instead of quoting a pasuk in korban chatos? And the Ritva answers the following. Rashi holds that once we have the pasuk in Asham, which teaches us that Odas Piv is Mechayev as Karbon, then we can come back to the pasuk in Chatos that says Visvada, and we can assume that O Hoda Olav in that pasuk of Visvada means that his Hoda generates a Chiv Karbon Chatos in the same way that his Hoda generates a Chiv Asham. In any event, the bottom line of our whole discussion is the following, that Hodas Piv is superior to Hagadas Edus with regard to a Korban Chatos. If there's a contradiction between the Edus and his Hodas Piv, then we're machria in favor of his Hodas Piv. There's no way of forcing him to be chayv a Korban Chatos against his claim that he's not chayv. Now, you see the Tosus Divra Maskel Mala Piv, it's in the wider lines. Tosus says that it's not enough to say that Hodas Piv is Machayva Karbon in order to slug up the Kalvachomer, right? The Pircha, which is now establishing that Hodas Piv is superior to Edus. We could say that Hodas Piv is equal to Edus. And there's no adifus, there's no superior status to Hodas Piv above and beyond Edus. Only in the case of Akasha could the Gemara make this case. What do we mean by Akasha? The Edim testified that he ate Chalev, and he denies that he ate Chalev. Now we can weigh the two, Hodas Piv on the one hand and Edus on the other, and put them both on the scale, and we can come to the conclusion that he is believed against the Edim. Add to that the fact that if there are no Edim, and he himself confesses the crime, he's chayav to bring a korban chatos, where there was no akash. But it's crucial for the Gemara to introduce the case of akash, because otherwise you could say the following. He could be moda that he's chayav a korban chatos, he ate chaylev, and he's chayav. Two Edim could come along and say, well, you ate chaylev, and he's chayav. And now everything is equal. If he's not makish them, then the Edom themselves generate a chiyuv karbon, which means that just like Piv is machayev a karbon, so too Edom are machayev a karbon. Everything is all equaled out. So how does the Gemara set up a pircha that maybe Hodas Piv is greater than Edom? And the answer is in the case of Akasha. He claims that he's not chayev a karbon, they claim he is chayev a karbon, he's believed and they're not believed. You see here clearly a pircha, because we've proven now that Hodas Piv is greater than Hodas Edim. So the Gemara, Holo Kasha, I'm not bothered by this pircha. Why? Because Rabbi Chiya Rabbi Meir Svirale, the Omar Edim Mechayven Oso Karba Mikal Vachomer. You remember Rabbi Meir's logic, that if two Edim could be Mechayev in Misa, much more so they could be Mechayev him Karma, which is Kal. It means that they establish objective truth that he ate Chalev, and when he denies it, we don't believe him. He's Chayev a Karma. So we see clearly that our Odas Edim is superior to Hodas Piv, and in Akasha we believe the Edim and not his denial. That means that we have a Kal Vachomer, and Rabbi Chiya is therefore correct to say that if Hodas Piv is Mechayva Karbon, then how much more so Edim are going to be Mechayva? I'm sorry. If Hodas Piv is Mechayva Shvua, then how much more so should Hodas Edim be Mechayva Shvua? Now, what case is it that you bring a Karbon Chatos because you were shogeg on Achilas Chalev? Didn't he know that he was enjoined from eating Chalev? So the Shita Megubetzes here in Bamitzia says the following. He's got two pieces in front of him. One is Chalev and the other is Shuman. And they look exactly identical. He cannot tell. It all depends on which part of the body it was taken out of. But you can't tell the difference. The witnesses went ahead and they clarified which of the two was Shuman and which of the two was Chalev. At that point, after the Edom testified that this is the Chalev, he picks up the Chalev and he eats it. So it's very interesting here, because according to the Shittim Gubetzes, when you want to talk about a case of a Chatos Bishoge, and he, against the Edom, claims that he was amazed, that would be a case where there was some sort of clarification as to which of these two pieces is actually the Chalev, and then he went ahead and he ate that piece that was Chalev. Okay. Now we have Tosfos in Masechta Krisus. Okay. Just one second, let me just get my bearing here. Disnan, what does it say in the Mishnah in Krisus? Amru lo shnayim, two witnesses say, achalta chelev, you were a shogeg and you have to bring a karma chatos, we won't wear lo achalti. And he denies that he's chayev a karma. Rabeir is machayev. Notice Rabeir believes the two witnesses against his denial. The chachamim potrin also. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, is there an afgemina between a chiyuv adam b'chatos when he says he didn't sin? And the answer is yes, there's an afgemina, because the witnesses testify that he's chayev achatos. He denies it. He says he's not chayev achatos. So what's going to happen now, according to Rabbi Meir? Who does Rabbi Meir believe, based on the Kal Vachomer of Misa, that they can condemn him to death? Believe the Eidim. There's another problem. This is the problem that Tosfos raises in Krisus. We have halacha of Lirtzonchem, which means that there's no such din as kfiyah with regard to karmon. In any other mitzvah in the Torah says if you refuse to fulfill the mitzvah, we're going to force you. But not in the case of a karmon. In the case of a karmon, it has to come Lirtzonchem. He has to have a complete agreement. So what's Rabbi Meir saying over here? He's saying that we believe the Eidim, that he's chayev achatos. And that's above and beyond the nemonis that he has when he denies that he's chayev achatos. Okay, so what are you going to do now? You're going to force him to bring a karmon chatos? It doesn't make any sense. The Tosfos says, you know what? According to Rabbi Meir, what we're going to do in this case is memashkin and oso. I'll explain that in a minute. The kaman shedafka im adam. If Adam yodeh shechayev chatos chak sha'omer she'eno noach lo b'kapara, then ain't kofin also. Amal kan she'noach lo b'kapara lehu choshev she'eno tzarech l'skaper kofin also. In other words, Tosfos is mechadei she'gavaldig echidish, that when the Gemara says increases ain't kofin also, he denies that he ate it, and therefore he doesn't want to bring a karbon, and we can't force him to bring a karbon. Tosfos says that according to Rabbi Meir, the only time we apply this principle of ein kofin also, that's in a case where a person says, I recognize full well that I'm chayev achatos, but I don't need kapara. He, you know, we all pray for kapara, but he's not interested in kapara. But if a person says, I want kapara for all my sins, but I don't think I need kapara because I think I ate the shuman and not the chalev, and the Eidim testify, we know that you ate the chalev. In such case, kofin also. Why? Because he basically wants kapara. The halacha of ein kofin also lirtzonchem is because of a person who doesn't want kapara. He's denying the whole process of karma, and if he's excluded from a karma, and we're not going to force him to bring the karma. But if he's in the parish of Kapara, he wants Kapara, just he thinks he didn't eat Chelev, therefore he's not Chayav in Kapara, then we're going to force him to bring to bring the Korban Chatos. The Gemara says, Omer lo shnayim achalto chelev. Who omer lo achalti, Rabbi Meir mechayev. V'chachomim potrin also. And now it's saying that Rabbi Meir is mechayev him even against his counterclaim when he denies that he ate chelev. And we're going to force him to bring the karma because he's a person who's in the passion of kapara. He wants kapara. Chachamim say that we're going to believe him against the eidim, and therefore he's parted from a karma. We believe him who's when he claims lo achalchei, lo achalti chel. So that's the sheet of the Chachamim. Omar Rabbi Meir turns to the Chacham, he says, "Emeviu shnayim lidei misa chamura lo yeviu lidei karban akal." Let's analyze this logically. The Torah believes two eidim; they are the final authority, the final evidence. There's no greater evidence than two eidim, and to such an extent that the two eidim could condemn a person for death. Now you're going to tell me we don't rely on the eidim as far as the karban? How can you compare karma to death? Amrullah. So the Chacham respond to Rabbi Meir. We're going to potter him up from a karma in this case, not because we believe him and we don't believe the Eidim. Certainly the Torah relies on two Eidim. That's the ultimate evidence to establish the truth in a Beis Din. Mm-hmm. But we're going to believe this person based on a migu. Now I know what you're all thinking, even if he has a migu, why should migu be more powerful and more reliable than two eidim? Two eidim is the ultimate proof, the ultimate evidence. But let's just see first of all what this migu is. Why should we believe a person who says lo achalti chelev, and therefore I don't have to bring a karban? What migu does he have? And the answer is, Maim Yirtzalom Armezin Ayisi, V'ipoter. He could say that I don't have to bring a carbon because I ate the chalev deliberately. And there's no kaparas carbon, there's no chiv chatos for someone who is amazing. So now, when instead of saying that he ate it b'mezin, he says he ate it, he didn't eat it at all, then he should believe it with amigo. There are two ways that he could be potter from a karban, either because he never did the Avera, or because he did the Avera b'mezid. In the case of mezid, the Eidim cannot contradict him. They don't know whether he ate it b'mezid or not. So he can certainly say, I ate it b'mezid. And he's potter from a karban.
We're still trying to use these arguments in relationship to punishments. And Chiyuv Mamon, and Chiyuv Korban is has its side of Kapara that none of this other has. So why is it comparable?
Again, we have to emphasize that we're talking about a case where he wants Kapara. So why should he be believed that he's not Chayav a Korban when two Eidim testify that he ate Chalev and he himself wants kapara?
Because korban can only be brought voluntarily. It can't be forced.
No. He's willing to accept that Beis Din will compel him because he wants kapara. But he's claiming, I'm not gonna bring the korban because I'm not chayav a korban. I never ate chelev. And what's paradoxical here is that he's believed against the Eidim. And if he's believed against the Eidim, then it means that his reliability, credibility, is greater than that of two Eidim.
Yeah.
And the Gemara now introduces the Migu concept. Now, I understand the Migu, but why is Migu enough that we should believe him against two Eidim? So I think the answer has to be, just 1 second. Do you hear what's bothering me? Again, Tosa's going to say that he has a problem with the migu itself because migu always means when he has an equally comfortable taina that he could have been a winning argument. But here, you know, what he could have said, he ate it b'meza, that's not very comfortable. A person doesn't want to make himself into a rush and say, well, I ate chaylev b'meza. So this doesn't seem like a great migu. It's a knapper migu. So Tosfos says that we have to introduce the element of tshuva here into the equation. In other words, it's not embarrassing for him to claim that he ate chaylev b'meza because he wants to do tshuva. Now, if he wants to do tshuva, in the case where he denies that he ate the chaylev, then what he's saying is, I want to be a tzaddik, I'm not going to bring a chulin lazara because I'm not chayv a karban. And you can't just voluntarily bring a karban here, at least not a chatos. I mean, we do have karbanos in the dovah, but not a chatos. But the Rashba gives another answer. And he says, kasher b'tayna shetoyin ata, hu lo meisim atzmo rosha, you hear what the Rashba is saying? In other words, if you want to mess up a migu, you have to do so by saying that the taina that he's putting forth now is much more comfortable than the taina that he could have put forth. And if he's saying he didn't eat chaylev, that's a heck of a lot more comfortable than to say that he ate chaylev b'mezes. So that was Tosfos' kasha. And based on this kasha, Tosfos comes to the conclusion that we're talking about a baal tshuva, so he wants to do everything right. The Rashba offers a different teretz. And he's saying that it's not that this taina that he's saying I didn't eat chaylev is more comfortable than the other taina. Even the taina that he didn't eat chaylev is not a very comfortable taina. Why? Because according to the Edom, he's a Rasha and he did eat chaylev. Right? Because they're testifying that he ate chaylev. He says he didn't eat chaylev. That's not a very comfortable taina. So you want to slug up the migu by saying that the taina that he is actually putting forth is more comfortable? That's not true in this case, because he's looking two edim in the eyes and he's saying you're a bunch of liars, and I never ate chaylev, and you're fabricating the truth. I mean, that's how us is part of gedola, and therefore that's not a very comfortable taina. So the whole slug up of Tosfos of the migu that he would have made himself into a rush had he said achalti v'mezid. That doesn't undermine the migu at all. But we're asking a different question. Even if I grant him the migu, why is he believed against two eidim, according to the chachamim of Rabbi Meir? So I'm going to read to you a line here that is extrapolated from Tosfos Dibra Maskil Ma'im, which is the next to last Tosfos on the page. Sure. He says the following. Although migu eino moil b'mokum eidim, that's the sugya here about Metziah, Pe'alev, however, kavonas chachomim hi, shem yirtze yochel lefarish dvarov, shemasha omer lo achalti, is kaming lo mishlo achalti b'shogegel b'mezim. So if I understand this correctly, what he's saying is that he's not contradicting the Eidim, but he's reinterpreting his own words. He denied eating chaylev. No. That's not what he meant. What he really meant was, I did not eat chaylev in a way that I would be chayv a karba. This is similar to the sugya of Mitartzin and Diburo. Are you familiar with that? That sometimes we have to reinterpret his words. So if a person says, what's it called? Nirva, that I was a Nirva.
Yeah.
So what he means to say is that I was a nirva ba'onis, not a nirva b'mezid. You know, there are different cases of metartzina diburo.
Pagina diburo.
Well, pagina diburo. So when he says lo achalti, What it means is lo achalti b'shogeg ela b'mezi. So if that be the case, his nemonis is not to undermine the nemonis of the Eidim. There really is, at the end of the day, no contradiction between his claim and the Eidim's claim. The Eidim assumed that he was a shogeg. He's saying that I ate it b'mezi. That's not a head-on collision, because the Eidim really don't know what's in his heart of hearts. Now, what I don't understand here is, what does Tosfos mean? Tosfos means that we are going to be metarets his dibur, or, well, what happens if he's yelling and screaming, I never ate the chalef? That's it. Don't tell me I ate it b'mezid. I never ate it. I don't know. It seems to me that according to this Tosfos, in such a case, he would not be believed, even according to the Chachamim Rebbe Meir. But rather, we believe the Eidim, because then there's a head-on collision. So you tell me he has a migu, but migu against the Eidim is not believed. The only way that we can understand the Chachamim is in a case where his words lend themselves to two interpretations. We're going to interpret in a way in which he would not be in conflict with the Eidim, namely lo achalti b'shogeg ela b'mezi. Okay. Now, kolze amur dafka, says Tosfos, im bitchila kshamar lo achalti lo bodku ha'im kavanosa shlo achal klal. And therefore we're going to assume that lo achalti means lo achalti shogeg ela b'mezi. The efshal lefarish is dvarav, she's kavein shelo achal b'shogeg ela b'mezid. Aval im pireish, if he himself in the first round explicitly formulated the following sentence, lo achalti klal, lo achalti klal, not lo achalti. Tosfos says if he says lo achalti, we could say he meant lo achalti b'shogeg ela b'mezid. But if he says lo achalti klal and he adds that extra word klal, then in such a case, just one second,
then it's impossible to come back and say,
and be mitaritz dibur, right? Aval impirish is kamin shalochal klal, eno nemon acherkach, lomar is kamin shalochal b'mezid v'lo b'shogeg. So if I understand correctly, Tosfos is saying that without Metatzin and Diburo, he would not be believed, and he's Chayv a Karbon. Again, only if he's Ratzon, if he has a Ratzon Liskaper. So let's just think. What's the Machlokas now between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? The Eidim say you ate Chelev Bishogek. He says Lo Achalti. Rabbi Meir says he has to bring a karbon based on the Kal V'chomer, that Eidim have the power to be mechayev him misa, certainly they have the power to be mechayev him a karbon. The Chachamim say, you're right, Rabbi Meir, but only in the case where he says lo achalti klal. But in the case where he says lo achalti, and he doesn't add on the word klal, we have the right to reinterpret his words and assume that what he meant was lo achalti b'shogeg ela b'mezid. So Tosfos, I think, is severely limiting or restricting the machlokas. It's only a machlokas about a contradiction between his peh and the Eidim, where we could be metaritz diburo. The Chacham say we'll be metaritz diburo. We'll reconcile what he's claiming with what the Eidim are testifying. And that we can do in the case of lo achalti. However, the Rashba disagrees with Tosfos, and he holds that even if he says explicitly lo achalti klal, from the moment that he enunciates the first two words in his statement, lo achalti, we're already going to change his meaning. That's called lesares es dvarov. And Mochakim Midvarov Esamila Klal. That's called Lasaris Dvar. So the Rashba says that we're going to take out the word klal, v'roen also kilu lo machalti shogig el v'meis. So this is a pretty amazing halacha. I mean, we never found any kind of halacha in which we're masaris dvarav. He says lo achalti klal. We're going to just drop the word klal and say the loch. He means lo achalti b'shogigel b'meis. Some sort of separate halacha in Hilchos Korban Chatos. So at this point, where are we holding? Do we have the Kal v'chomer of Rabbi Chiya, or do we have a pircha on the Kal v'chomer? Rabbi Chiya says that hodas piv is not machayev knas, edim are machayev knas, and therefore edim is greater than piv. So we ask the question: well, what about in the case of chatos, where he's believed and the edim are not believed? So the Gemara says that if you hold like the chachomim of Rabbi Meir, then we're going to apply the principle of Mayim Yirtza Lomar Mezid Ayisi. And that's why we're going to believe him against the Eidim. But it doesn't mean that Piv is greater than Eidim. It just means that we're going to be Mataritz Diburo, and when he says Lo Achalti, he means Lo Achalti Shogeg Elim Bemezid. Is Mimele at this point in the Sugya that Kal v'chomer of Rabbi Chiya is validated? And the pircha is rejected. Because it's not that Piv is believed over and above Edim in a clash. What it really means is that we're going to reinterpret Piv. And this is what he meant. I mean, the Rashba goes even a step further. We're even going to be Masari, says Dvorah. So Ella, the Gemara, now has a different pircha. I'm going to prove to you from another case that Piv is greater than Eidim. Mala Piv Shekei Mechaivo Osho. So there are various Averis which generate a Chiyuv Karban Osham. And if a person admits that he violated one of those Averis, then he has to bring a Karban Osham. If that be the case, then Hodas Piv has a power to be Mechaiv Meshvua when he's bold of mitzvahs, but Edim don't have the power to be mechayev a korban asham, and therefore they don't have the power to be mechayev a shvuah and bold of mitzvahs. Because the Mishnah says in Masechta Shvuos on Daf Mem Tes that if two Edim testify that a person is chayev a korban asham, he's pot. He doesn't have to bring a korban asham based on their testimony. And the Gemara in Shavuos derives this from a pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. It says, "Visvadu es chatasam asher chatu." And if the person is not moded in the chait, then he doesn't bring a korban. So the Gemara answers, "Asham hainu korban." What does that mean, Asham Hainu Karbon? I understand that Asham is a Karbon, but how does that slug up the slug up? You know, how does that undermine the Pircha on the Kal v'chomer? I think what the Gemara is saying here, we'll take a look at Rashi in a minute, is that the drasha of Visvadu es chatosim asher chatu in Karbon Asham is only according to Chachamim Rabbi Meir, but we're going according to Rabbi Chiya, who accepts Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir holds that Edim who can bring him Lidei Misa can certainly bring him Lidei Karbon. Again, I'm not sure exactly how Rabbi Meir will interpret the pasuk that says Visvadu Eschatosim Asher Chatu, which implies that he's moded in the chait, and that's why he brings a Karbon Asher. Now here we have a question of the Ramban. The Ramban doesn't understand how the Gemara could say Asham Hainu Karban, and the same machlokas between Chachomim and Remeir and Chatos is identical in the case of Asham. The same machlokas will apply. Do we believe the Eidim and he has to bring a Karban, Or do we say no? We believe his peh, and he doesn't bring a carbon. Says the Rabban, chatos is a chiyuv carbon that's chal from the moment of the sin of the chet itself, and afterwards we need bezdin and edim just to be mavarer that he actually is chayav a carbon chatos that he did the chet. Here we have machlokas between Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. Do we rely on his own claim or his own hodah, or do we rely on the edim who are makrishim? Avol bi asham, where the Torah went out of its way and says visvada, that teaches me that a hodah he am chayevus. The kol od shelo hodah ain't a love chiyuv carbon asham klal. So the Ramban is asking the following question: how could the Gemara equate asham and chatos? There's a fundamental difference between the two. In the case of chatos, we only need the edim to clarify, and that's where you're going to have a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. But in the case of the asham, the chiyuv carbon itself is a result of hadas edim, and that's what the Torah means when it says visvada. So B'li Neder, we'll pick this up tomorrow. Does anybody have a pencil by any chance? Just want to make a note of where we got up to. No. I always ask you that question.
Yeah, I never have a pencil.
Oh, thanks. I'll give it right back to you. Okay, great.
So this is all done.